quick recap of chapter 4. Actually, the previous chapters we've been just looking at there in Samuel. This was a time in Israel history where God was moving away. You know, the priesthood had got things so messed up. Eli being a priest, got things so messed up till this is a time where they lost the Ark of the Lord. And this was a very, very precious possession that the children of Israel had, something that they took with them into battle, and they thought that God would be with them when they fought the Philistines. But because they had forsaken God, God showed that, no, I'm not with you. And, you know, I think this is it's like an example of how some people treat the Lord today. Here we get ourselves into a little trouble, and the first thing we want to do is quote some scripture, right? And we think because we quote scripture, then, you know, somehow God will rescue us out of that trouble. No, what God wants us to do first is repent, and then we can remind him of what his word says. But we can't remind him of his word if we're not living according to it. You know, but this is what the children of Israel did. They thought because they had the Ark of the Lord that they had God with them. But there, what had happened in the temple during that time, two big things happened. One was the offerings were more important than the service of the Lord. That's the way it got there with Eli's boys. The offerings were more important than their service. Not only that, those boys were so bad that they did whatever they wanted to do in the house of God. They lay with the women of the church, and their father never did correct them for what they were doing. And you know, this is very important. You know that this is why Eli ended up losing so much in the end, because he never did stop his boys and correct them the way that he should have and probably could have corrected them. So we see God moving away from the priesthood, and now he's bringing a prophet on the scene. Someone he can reveal his word to, and this is Samuel, the prophet who's coming on the scene, that was dedicated as a young man to the service of the Lord. His mother not being able to have children, but God blessed her with Samuel, and not only that, blessed her with some other children after Samuel was born. So we're picking this up. Chapter 4, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God, was taken from the children of Israel. It's in the land of the Philistines, and as we pick up in chapter 5, we'll see some things that happen here. Verse 1 in 1 Samuel 5. It says this: "And the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon." Now, this was their idol god, their false god that they serve. Dagon was his name. And here they are taking the Ark of God, something very precious, and they sit it right next to their false god. Here it says, "And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord." Now, it just blessed me. This, you know, the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, right? So a lot of this that we're, you know, we might have to find ourselves fighting against today with all these new religions and everything like that. Every knee gonna bow and every tongue gonna confess. There was nobody there at this time. Just they put the Ark of the Lord there, and they had their god Dagon there. And in the morning they came in and saw Dagon was falling upon his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord, and they took Dagon and set him in his place again. Now, goes on to say this, verse 4, "When they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him." Right? I mean, you know, nothing's going to be able to stand, you know, nothing, no false religion going to be able to stand up, you know, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. See, so here, and the other thing is that we don't have to fight God's battle. He can fight it by himself. He took care of this all on his own. All right, didn't need no man's help to do this. Amen. Verse 5 says, "Therefore neither the priest of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon and Ashdod unto this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emerods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. Now, I was just kind of looking up that word emerods, and what I found is that it meant tumors. And one particular definition it said bloody tumors that these people were smote with, and because they stole the Ark of the Lord, right? They stole the Ark of the Lord. Now here they are, they smote with emerods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The Ark of God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God." Now it's amazing that they recognize that ever since they brought the Ark of the Lord in, into the camp, they had some serious trouble on their hands. There's one place, let me see if I can find it here. Brother Branham said it was a little bit too hot for them. They say that was the hottest thing they ever had on their hands. When they took the Ark of God and brought it into with their God, that was the hottest thing they had on their hands. They couldn't handle that. It was way too hot for them to handle. All right. But here it goes on. Let's keep reading here. It says verse 7. Oh, all right. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The Ark of God of Israel shall not abide with us, but his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God." They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, "What shall we do with the Ark of the God of Israel?" And they answered, "Let the Ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath." And they carried the Ark of the God of Israel about thither. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And they smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emerods in their secret parts. Therefore they sent the Ark of God to Ekron, and it came to pass, as the Ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, "They have brought about the Ark of God, of the God of Israel, to us to slay us and our people." So people were afraid of this coming their way. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. You know, you kind of wish that people had the same type of respect for the Word of God today. You know, that, I mean, if they heard, and it used to be a time like that where people heard truth and they got right with God. Right? I mean, you tell them truth. If you don't live right, you're going to end up going to hell. You tell somebody that, they get right with God. Now you can say that to people like, maybe they put it on their car. They put it on the, I was looking at a bumper sticker just the other day. I say, what blasphemy? I mean, say they went to hell and came back, you know, because they was too much for hell to handle. That's blasphemy, right? People have no idea what they up against when they leave this earth. They have no idea. But it used to be a time people would be, they would feel some type of conviction or something, you know. Nowadays, nobody. I shouldn't say nobody, but a lot of people just have no respect for the Word of God. None whatsoever. These people were afraid. Man, the Ark of God is coming. We don't know what's in there, but we know wherever it sits, it's causing problems for people. Right? If it's out of its place, it's causing problems. So here, verse 11, I believe is where I'm at. It says, "So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, 'Send away the Ark of the God of Israel and let it go again to its own place, that it slay us not and our people, for there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there, and the men that died not were smitten with the emerods, and the cry of the city went up to heaven.'" Let's go on to chapter 6. And it says this, "And the Ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months." Now here they've taken it from the children of Israel and they've kept it for seven months. My. The Ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, "What shall we do to the Ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place." You know, you have to watch sevens and things like that in the scripture. But here, the children of Israel are without the word for 7 months. 7 months. Now, we could see in the church ages, it took all the way to the seventh church age before the word of God was restored back to the church, right? We had partial, you know. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part is done away with, right? But now we got a full, complete restoration of the word, and the same thing that we see here in the scripture, where the priesthood had it, but the priesthood lost it. God had to raise up a prophet during this time in order for the word to be restored. The people had, there was no open vision in those days, the scripture tells us. So it's the same pattern that we can kind of see today. God raises up a prophet to restore the truth of the word of God to his people, because it's been lost for a number of years. Just as we read in previous chapters, Ichabod was the name of the child that was given when I believe one of the wives of Eli's sons gave birth. She named the son Ichabod, which meant the glory of the Lord had departed. And like I read to you all in the previous weeks, we can see that in Christianity today, the glory of the Lord has departed. Yes, the numbers are getting greater, right? But the church is getting weaker. It's the truth anyhow. The numbers are getting much greater, but the church is getting weaker. There is nothing to challenge the people to stop them from sinning. Nothing. Many people come to the altar and say that they, like I said on Sunday, come to the altar chewing gum. How are you going to apologize and say you're sorry to somebody chewing gum in their face? That's not an apology. You don't really mean that from your heart. So how are you going to come to God? I mean, God looks for a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Most people come to the altar smiling. How can you smile with that sin in your life? How can you do that, right? I mean, it should cause for some tears. It should cause for some brokenness. But nowadays, we don't have that. And it shows that Ichabod is on the church doors all over again. Amen. And there are many people that don't, they probably feel like the Spirit of the Lord is there. And I hate to see on that day and when God says, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I know you're not. People that really thought that they were serving God in the fullness, but realize that they're going to be so far off base when they get there and stand before God that day. Ichabod is in the churches, in the land again today. We're not looking at the numbers, not the quantity, but the quality. Amen. If this gospel can't change you, it can't bring about transformation in your life, something's wrong somewhere. Even if you go back and listen to Billy Graham's messages, Billy Graham would make you come to that altar. I mean, that man get the preaching against sin, and he would make you come to that altar. I mean, they come piling out of the stands, coming down to the altar to get right with God. See, he had a message, but that's as far as he could go, is the altar. See, God want to take us to perfection. Amen. Hallelujah. And we ain't going to be perfect with sin in our life. Amen. Bottom line. All right, what verses am I on? I think it's 2 or... okay. Then the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place. And they said, if ye send away the ark of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering, that ye shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. Then said they, what shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden emerods and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for one plague was on you all and on your lords. Wherefore ye shall make images of your emerods and images of your mice that mar the land, and ye shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure he will lighten his hand off, lighten his hand from off you, and from off your gods, and from off your land. Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts, as Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts, when he had wrought wonderfully among them? Did they not let the people go, and they departed? Now, they're very familiar with the testimony of what happened down in Egypt. Very familiar with what God did. And it's amazing to me that they knew what this God did for his people, but yet they couldn't turn to him. Yet they still want to serve Dagon. right? It's amazing that, and it's the same thing it is today. God do some wonderful things for people. You can see God's grace all over the land, but yet people will still not turn to him. Huh? Amen. I was reminded, I think, you know, praise the Lord, okay. Right after, I think it was not after September 11th, but it was one of the anniversaries, I think just a few years ago I was preaching, and I was thinking about all the people that went out and got Bibles after September 11th. We know there was a lot of lives lost, but there were some miracles that took place. Some people that were spared, some people that were saved, and some of the testimonies that these people shared, it should have changed a lot of people. And at the time, I think they were saying that they couldn't find the Bible on the shelf. Everybody was out buying Bibles. Everybody was trying to get back into the Word of God. But after they felt a little safety, a little comfort, everybody went right back to what they was doing before. Right? You know, all the grace that God gives, why can't people stop and just serve him with everything they have? He deserves it. Amen. Listen, goes on to say this. Verse 6 again. Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts when he had wrought wonderfully among them? Did they not let the people go, and they departed? Now therefore make a new cart, and take 2 milk kine, on which there have come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart, and bring their calves home from them. And take the ark of the Lord, and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold, which ye return him for a trespass offering, in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go. And see if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us, it was a chance that happened to us. All right? So they're going to put this to a test to see now which way is this. When we put this Ark of the Lord on these 2 animals and let them take it, we'll see which direction they go. All right. And it says, and the... All right, says verse 10 says, and the men did so, and took 2 milk kine, and tied them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home, and they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart, and the coffer with the mice of gold, and the images of their emerods, and the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh, and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left, and the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh. They of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. And that's the way we should be. We should rejoice because the word has returned in our day. And the cart came into the field of Joshua, a Beth Shemite, and stood there where there was a great stone, and they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kine a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on a great stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices the same day unto the Lord. And when the 5 lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. And these are the golden emeralds which the Philistines returned for a trespass offering unto the Lord: for Ashdod, 1, for Gaza, 1, for Ascalon, 1, for Gath, 1, for Ekron, 1. And the golden mice, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the 5 lords, both of fenced cities and of country villages, even unto the great stone of Abel, whereon they set down the ark of the Lord, which stone remaineth unto this day in the field of Joshua, the Beth Shemite. And he smote the men of Beth Shemesh, because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. And he smote of the people 50,000 and 70 men, and the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Beth-Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before this holy God, holy Lord God, and to whom shall he go up from us?" And they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have brought again the ark of the Lord. Come ye down and fetch it up to you." Now, we just want to kind of maybe go back and catch a couple of scriptures here if we can. I just noticed they had a reference to something. The ark was it was something that only the priests were supposed to deal with, right? And I mean, you all remember Joshua and how Joshua, when they were crossing over to go over Jordan, and then they were going to go into the promised land, that the priests had to take the ark and put it on their shoulders and carry it across Jordan. It was only the priests were supposed to deal with the ark. Now, what we got here, and even you all remember when David was trying to bring the ark back home. In all actuality, what we're seeing, how the ark left, it actually didn't come back home until David became king. Well, you're seeing it leave in the days of Eli, but it never really made it back to its original spot until David became king. Now, but when they went to get the ark in David's day, what happened is that this one particular man thought that ark was about to fall, and he reached his hand up towards it to try to stabilize it, and when he did that, he was smitten dead. Now, it was very important that people respected who God wanted to carry this ark, who God wanted to handle this ark. The ark represents the word of the Lord. That's what it represents. And you just couldn't have anybody carrying it, right? You couldn't just let anybody do anything with it. Now, it's the same thing it is today, right? And unfortunately, church has lost respect for the word of God, all right? God had it very clear as to who should be handling his word. When you look at the fivefold ministry, this is a ministry of men. God never gave the ark to the women. Never did. In the Old Testament, there were priests, right? Not women priests. They were always men. Only men handled the word of God. Now, today we have it where women are handling the word of God. Now, it shows that we've lost the respect that we used to have for the word of God. Not just respect, we lost interpretation, right? Because the only way, I mean, there was a time where you would never see a woman try to take the pulpit. You never see that. And every church had that same revelation. Every church, no matter what denomination you were in, everybody had that revelation. But for some reason, nowadays, we completely lost that. I'm not sure what changed in scripture. I didn't see anything change, but I think our interpretation or reflection of the scripture has changed. Amen. But we can see this very clearly that, you know, these people that were not supposed to handle, I'll tell you like this, thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. Because what we see in the scripture, people that were not supposed to handle this ark and actually looked in there upon it, died instantly. God's grace is kind of bearing with us. Like that one scripture say, he winks at our ignorance, right? But at some point in time, he wants us to walk according to what he said. Amen, church. See, amen. But we can see here very clearly people that, I mean, these men were, they were all excited. Oh, thank God the ark came home. But that didn't mean that they were supposed to go pulling it up to look at it. Not even the Philistines did that, right? They had more respect than that. These men knew that they couldn't do that. But yet they went and did it anyway. See, so they perish for their lack of respect to the way God established things. They perish for that. Oh, my goodness. Let's read a few quotes here. I'm going to go to a greater than Solomon is here. And, I think I had a scripture, too, that I want to just share. Let me just... Numbers chapter 4. The one of the other scriptures they were referring to there is Exodus 19, and how when God came down on the mountain, he said, don't let an animal touch it, don't let nothing touch it, or it's going to die. Don't let nothing breach upon it, you know, or it's going to die. I mean, God was very, very clear about his instructions and how people should handle, you know, themselves in his presence. Here in Numbers chapter 4, I think I'll start reading at verse 15. Says, and when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary, and all the vessels of the sanctuary as the camp is set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. Unto the office of Eleazar the son of Aaron the priest pertaineth the oil for the light, and the sweet incense, the daily meat offering, and anointing oil, and the oversight of all the tabernacle, and of all that therein is in the sanctuary and in the vessels thereof. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Cut ye not off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites, but thus do unto them that they may live and not die when they approach unto the most holy things. Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint them every one to his service and to his burden, but they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. Now, the Kohathites were part of the Levites, a part of that tribe. Each one of them had very specific things. And now, when they talked about going into the most holy place, only the high priest could go into that place. Only the high priest. You all remember also in the scripture where I believe it was Eleazar had sons. It had sons, and what they did was kind of create a fire in this most holy place. It was a fire that God didn't light, the fire that God didn't start. And since they did it their way, God struck those boys dead. See, I mean, things had to be done exactly the way God said to do it. Else, death was in store for people. See, so even though the Kohathites, they had their part, but still in that most holy place, the high priest went in once a year, and he went in to just try to bring, he would sprinkle blood in there on the mercy seat, and, you know, that was trying to make an atonement for the people. But that high priest couldn't go in anytime he wanted to go in. It was only once a year that he was welcome to come into that place. See, only once a year. And so that God had very, very strict rules about this. And in that most holy place, the Ark of the Covenant was there. So God had very strict rules about how he handled things, who were to do what. God had very strict rules. And what we saw there in 1 Samuel chapter 6, we saw the children of the men of Beth Shemesh, they weren't following those rules. They were excited. And I hate to say it this way, but it's the truth. The church is excited today. A lot of people are excited, but they're not doing what God said do. Amen. Amen. I mean, very excited. You hear some of them minister the gospel? I'm talking about women. I mean, I heard a lady one time, oh my goodness, wow, where'd she get those things from? Is she excited? But it's not the will of the Lord. It's not the will of the Lord. Let's read some. Greater than Solomon is here. We're talking a little bit about Dagon here. I pulled up a few quotes on that. And you'll see that this was in, this first quote is kind of talking about the Queen of Sheba and her interaction with Dagon. It says here, now remember, how long do you think it took that woman? She didn't have an air-conditioned Cadillac to come in. No, she had to ride on the back of a camel. You know how long it taken the camel train to get from Sheba to Palestine? 3 months. 90 days through a hot Sahara desert. The hottest place in the world, on the back of a camel, trying to come to see a gift of God. No wonder Jesus said she'll rise in the judgment and condemn this generation. See, she might have traveled by night. Daytime, she laid up in the oasis and read the scrolls, the scriptures, to see what Jehovah was. She finally arrived at the gate. She didn't come say, well, like people do today, I'll go in, sit down. If he says one thing that's contrary to my belief, I'll get right up and walk out. That shows ignorance. That's right. But she come to stay till she was convinced. She read the Bible. She seen what Jehovah meant and what Jehovah was and what Jehovah had promised. She wanted to see if that Jehovah they talked about was in that man. I imagine her priest told her, said, well, now looky here. Here's our great Dagon. Here's our great idol here. She said, yes, my great, 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 great grandmother served them, and they haven't done nothing but stood there as a statue all the time. They don't breathe. They don't move. There's nothing happened. And they say this God's a living God, doing something. Amen. That's it. Amen. I feel kind of religious right now. Yes, a living God, not a dead one. What good's a God that could open the Red Sea if he can't do the same today? What good is a God that could heal a leper in the days gone by if he can't do the same today? A historical God is no good. If he isn't the same God today, that's right, he is the same God today, yesterday, today, and forever. The same. One, only ask in the same faith that they exercise. And he was just kind of talking about the Queen of Sheba turning from her. She's one that turned from that false God. There's many people today that will just stay right with their false religion. They will stay with, stay with all kind of things. I mean, knowing that there's nothing happened for years, you know, but they would not actually have enough faith just to rise up and come out of where they are. You know people like that. The church, many of the churches that we came out of, my God, it's been many changes over the years. Even the things that we used to feel when we was there, it's not there anymore. People making up all kind of stuff to try to get the Spirit of the Lord in there. But it's Ichabod. The glory of the Lord has departed. People don't want to acknowledge it, but it's the truth. It's Ichabod. It's Ichabod. Right? Amen, church. God knows we got to get somewhere where there's a real God on the scene and proving himself to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. We got to get into a place like that. Amen. I want to dwell in a place like that. Man, I want to fellowship in a place like that where God has proven himself over and over and over again. He's not a dead God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That Queen of Sheba had enough faith to leave whatever it was that she was in. She could leave it and come. Thank God. God still got some Queen of Shebas today. Amen. That will leave it and come to the Word for their day. Amen. Let's go on to this one just one more time, Lord. Just one more time, Lord. This right here is showing where even Samson, Samson is captured. And I'll tell you another thing. There was another scripture where when they killed Saul, King Saul, they actually took King Saul, a part of his body, and hung it in the house of Dagon. Now that shows the respect that they had for their God and thinking that their God brought them the victory. How could they think that their God gave them the victory knowing what happened to Dagon when they put the Ark of the Covenant right there? How could they assume that their God gave them the victory? There's no way. Now I'll tell you what happened. It wasn't that God failed. It was that God's men had failed. Saul failed. Samson failed. But God himself will never fail. Amen. Look at this just one more time, Lord. It says they must have raised up, moved up a little closer, stretched, as it were, their necks to get a good look. And what could they see but a mass of human flesh, a man that was once the great warrior, being led blindly as he was, led by a little boy that led him out into the floor. All day long, the halls echoed from wall to wall with the revelry of drunken women and men. What a sight it must have been. What a hush must have come over the building when this man, led by a little boy, an arch enemy to them, come walking out in the floor with no eyes. Had to be led by a little lad, a man that had been such a gallant man, a man that had been a warrior that Samson was, and then had to be led by a little boy out in the floor, a man that was a servant of God, brought into this condition, into this place of drunken revelry. You can just imagine what Samson must have been going through as he's brought out there before these people. Says it was a great celebration for their god, Dagon, the fish god that had gotten them the victory over Jehovah. Let's stop a minute and let that penetrate. Celebrating a victory over Jehovah's hosts. Dagon, the heathen idol, the fish god of the Philistines, that God hated. And here they was in their drunken brawl, celebrating victory over God's servant being conquered. See, it was God's servant. They're celebrating the victory over God's servant being conquered, right? Same thing happened with the children of Israel here in 1 Samuel chapter 4. When they went out to battle, God's people were conquered. And the reason that they were conquered is because they left the word of God. That's why they were conquered. Anytime we leave God's word, we will be conquered. Our strong tower is found in the word of God. See, amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. See, we gotta stay with that word. That's the only thing that protects us. That's the only thing that keeps us, is what does the word say? Amen. Hallelujah, church. Glory to God. Listen, it says, what a terrible thing that it is to think of. I'd like, if it was possible, to stand still a few minutes and paint a picture of that. But just imagine it in your mind. If you would have had to stand and look on something like that, then I'm going to bring the picture right back to you. Just imagine all day long drinking, celebration, fine dress, women, man, warlords, warriors, great men of the nations, gathered in this new building where they had put up a new idol to the fish god, giving him honor and praise for the victory over Jehovah's servants. Now to make it worse, here come the leading man, the messenger of the day, with his eyes punched out, led by the hand of some little boy to bring him out into the stadium. The lad led the stumbling blind out into the place, and I can hear a whisper from the great mass of man standing there like a great machine, but totally helpless. God has raised him up for a purpose, sold his birthrights, and here he stood, a mass of machinery with no strength in it, led around by a little boy. But no doubt in my mind that Samson had thought of all these things. When he had lost his strength, he had thought about what had happened. His vow had been taken from him, and he had surrendered to his enemy. And they, in return, had took his sight from his eyes. And he said to the little lad, "Lead me to the post where the column that the building is set upon, just lead me over to this post." Now, I won't read the rest of that because it's pretty long, but it's a good message for you to go back and listen to just one more time, Lord, there in 1963. But Brother Branham went on to talk about how, as he's standing there, maybe some of the warriors that have scars from the battle that they've been in with Samson. I mean, some of the scars, and maybe some little boy that remember his daddy going to battle and not making it back home alive. He can look at Samson and say, "Now that's the man right there. He's the one that did this to me. Now we're gonna make our fun of you, our sport of you, Samson." I mean, just so many thoughts going through these people's heads as they're making sport of this used to be warrior of God. He failed God, but God didn't fail him. Oh my. And here we find in scripture again that Samson's standing there and he makes that comment like, "Lord, I know I done failed." And see, this is what I'm talking about, this true repentance, right? "Lord, I know I done messed up. I know that I don't deserve your presence to come with me again." Samson not chewing gum while he's talking to the Lord. This is serious business here, you know. I mean, "God, I'm sorry that I did this. I'm sorry that that I brought even the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, to this place. They were dependent on me. They had their hope in me. God, you raised me up for a purpose. My angel met my mama, and I mean, it was supernatural how I was born. You know, all these things, and God, I done let you down. See, I done fail you, but you know, Lord, I know that I fail you, but you promised never to leave me nor forsake me, and all Samson can say is just once more, Lord, once more. If you just touch me one more time, says I'm willing to die with these Philistines. I'm willing to die with them. I'm willing. I mean, I done made a big mess of things, but I'm willing right now to die with these Philistines. And Samson was led to them posts and pushed them posts down, and there, I believe, 3,000 Philistines died that day. And Samson killed more Philistines in his death than he did while he lived. When we really think about that, and there Dagon was down again underneath Samson's push. They brought him into the house of Dagon. Here Dagon is down again. See, God never left his servant. He was there all the time. See, waiting on Samson to get to a spot where he could repent and really get his heart right with him. But it was right there. Like I think the scripture and even Brother Branham say, they even though they're sitting there making sport of him, they did not realize that them seven locks were growing back. His strength was returning. His strength was returning. I pray that our strength is returning. As a church of the living God, I pray that our strength is returning. And we ought to be crying out the same way Samson cried out, once more, Lord. I mean, moved by your power, moved by your spirit one more time. Forgive us of all of our wrong. Forgive us of, I mean, anything that we've done, forgive us of that. And Lord, move just one more time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Dagon or any other false god, we don't want it before the one true living God. Amen. Let's go on to this, the fourth seal. Thank you, Jesus. Says this. All right. Then Pentecostal had beyond joy. They was really stimulated. I think it does anyone. Let's just take just a moment. Let's think about David. He's got all stimulated too. He said, my cup's running over. I mean, he really had a great event in his life. What caused him to do that? When he was in the spirit, but he was a prophet. We know he was. The Bible said so, Prophet David. Now, for he was a prophet, and he was in the spirit, and he's seen the resurrection. If you like to read it, it's in Psalm 16, verse 8 through 11. He said, moreover, my flesh was made glad. I rest in hope, because you'll not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. I tell you, his cup got to running over, because he's seen, no matter what it was, he's seen the resurrection, and he and his cup run over. And David had another cup running over in 2 Samuel. Being that you got your pencils out, 2 Samuel 6:14, there had been a dry spell. They took the ark. The enemy had come in and got the ark of the Lord, and they took it down and set it up before Dagon. And Dagon fell on his face and took it to another city, and plagues broke out. That was the hottest thing they ever had on their hands down there. And they couldn't get rid of it, because it was out of its place. Now, when they put it on the ox cart and started back, and when David saw the ark coming, you know what he did? He got so full, his cup got to running over with stimulation. When he seen the word being revealed back into Israel again, he danced in the spirit all around and around and around and around like that. Yeah, his cup got to running over. You see why? He saw the word returning. That's what I'm talking about. He saw the word returning. And church, when we get a understanding that the word has returned in our day, it was lost We come through many denominations, and the Word of God has been lost. People are not doing things according to the Word anymore. Amen. Decisions are being made based on feelings, emotions. But when we got to base it on the Word of God. What does God's Word say? Amen. We want, thus saith the Lord. And that's why the prophet, the prophet repeated what the angel said. The angel wrote, told the prophet, pick up his pen and write. And it said, those in the bride will do only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. And say, you know, they have thus saith the Lord, or they just stand still. See, and that's just where we are. If God didn't say it, then fine. We're just not going to go with it. Might not be popular. Might not allow us to have, we would never probably be a mega church. I doubt it. That will ever get to that status. But, you know, but we will have the Word. Amen. We will have the Word. Thank God for that. Amen. Be excited because the Word has come back. And I like, did he talk about David running around and around and around? If somebody took off running right now, what would you do? Amen. I think I told Brother Wisdom one day, I said, service was so anointed. I said, Brother, I felt like running. I said, Brother, if you would have started running, I would have been right behind you. I would have been right behind you. I said, well, that's what I'm talking about. We run out of here and mess up something. But the Word has returned, church. See, you're seeing some really bad things that happened in Israel's day, but in this, God was raising up a prophet. God was, when Ichabod was written, amen, in the in that land, when the son was given the name Ichabod, which meant the glory of the Lord had departed, at that same time, God had a prophet being raised. It's the same thing today. The glory of the Lord has departed. Many of these churches. And I mean, church, if y'all just honest with yourself, you know where we come from. I was telling people just when I was a little boy, how ladies wouldn't go to church with pants on. I was a little boy. I'm talking about, even if it wasn't even a service. It wasn't a service. It was just rehearsal. Right? It was choir rehearsal. Or rehearsal for a play. All right? Easter play. Or for Christmas play. They would go to the mall with their pants on. But when they say 4 o'clock, we got to be at church, they found somehow to get back to the house. I'm not talking about change at the church. No. Not change at the church. Get back to your house somehow. And I don't care if your house is 35 minutes out of the way. Get back home, change, and then come to church a different way. And, you know, it was common for them to do that. Now, the problem is, why couldn't they just keep the skirts on all the time? See? And then we got to a spot where somebody let that down. First they was all skirts. And then they let that down. And, okay, it's okay. If you want to work in pants, it's okay. And then after, you know, go back home and change. And then, you know, if you want to just be seen casually in pants, it's okay. Now we got it where people come to church. And Lord knows, the way that some people dress when they go to church, I don't see how nobody get nothing out of the service. I don't see how nobody. I just don't see it. I mean, people look like they're going straight to a club. Guys and girls look like they're going to a club. Don't look like they're going to see the Lord at all. See? But Lord, help us, Jesus. My cry is like Samson. Once more, Lord, let your glory overshadow us. Let your glory just take complete control. That's what we need. My. He goes on to say in this, he says, I think that would make anybody get a little stimulated when they see after all these years, and then the true word, by the promise that it would be, being brought forth and vindicated. What a time. As we go on, we'll pick this up later on in Scripture. But when Eli lost because of his failure to really keep the people on the Word of God, because of his failure to do that, here they lost the Ark of God. That's underneath his watch. I think that's probably one of the worst things that could ever happen. It's kind of like me, if I let just anything go on in this church. Underneath my watch, I kind of I told you, coming from my pastor, he was hard on us. He was real hard. I mean, my God, it was. I didn't really appreciate it, but now I do. And it's just no way I can let the bars down on my watch. Now, maybe on somebody else's watch, they can let it down. But on my watch, I'm going to keep it so high. I'm going to keep it so high. No matter what, I gotta keep it up there. We cannot allow the enemy to come in no way, shape, or form. Amen. Praise the Lord, anyhow. I know I'd be setting some high standards. I mean, tell the young people, no touching till you marry. That's high standards. That's high. No kissing. First kiss is when I say you may kiss the bride. Amen. Otherwise, ain't no sense in saying it. Right? There's no sense in saying it. If y'all gonna do all that before, we'll just... Right? Y'all can just go on home. Or whatever, you know? But I mean, it's supposed to be special. Right? So you have to, I mean, we got to do some things right now in order to keep it special. Amen. Come on, you don't touch that girl. She ain't your wife. Amen. Huh? All right. That's what the Bible tell you to do now. I mean, to keep your hands off of her, and she got to keep her hands off of you. Amen. My, if she can't do it, something wrong somewhere. Praise God. And if y'all, you know, if you need to get married, get married. But I'm going to tell you this much, you get married for them reasons. Ooh, I feel for you later. Amen, because that ain't going to pay bills. All right. Glory, anyhow. All right. I'm just, but we got to keep it high. If we want to keep the glory of the Lord here, I don't want Ichabod to be written over these doors. I don't want Ichabod. I want people to know that they come here, a couple things that they can depend on when they come here. They're going to feel the spirit. They're going to get the truth. And there's going to be a church where sin can't hide. That's those are the key things. Amen. And that's what we need. Church where sin cannot hide. You know why? Because sin stops other people from getting what God want to do for them. Right? Sin stopped Israel from being victorious. That's why the Philistines even took the Ark of the Covenant, because of sin in the camp of Israel. See, it would have never happened. If they was living right, if Eli, and you know, you think about it, how Eli's boys going to carry the Ark the way that they was living? What gave them the right to go touch the Ark with a life like that? I'm surprised they didn't die when he picked it up. But God let them die in battle. See? I mean, but what made them think that they could pick the Ark up and go out there to battle with it? No way. Not living the life that they was living. And God had to show them that no, you can't just live any kind of way and then come and just pick up the Ark and just... I mean, that's the same thing for anybody. Not just a minister, but anybody. Right? I even talk about that even for any office in the church. You just can't live any kind of life and then expect to get up. I want to sing. Sing what? You play what? How are you going to do that with that in your life? You can't do that. Like I told you, I said a long time ago, I don't want the devil to sing to me. I don't want the devil to sing to me. Right? I mean, hear you singing, but after you leave, and you know, I know people that will tear church down. Well, we'll sing, what have you, oh my, whoo, your hands be lifted, you just be all in the spirit. And then they done left the church and they're doing stuff that you'd be so, you'd be shocked to know that they were doing that type of stuff. Amen. We want God to be in control. We want him to be pleased with everything that goes on in this place. Amen. We want God to be pleased. Every heart God is pleased with, every life God is pleased with, that's the way we want it to be. If I got to live holy, you got to live holy. We all got to live holy. God called us a kingdom of priests. We are a kingdom of priests. We're all royal priesthood. Every last one of us. So we have a responsibility before God to uphold our duties. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are appreciative. Lord, the scripture that we can just look at here, and looking at the Philistines taking the ark, the Lord bringing it into their camp, and it was out of its place. That's not where it belonged. Here the enemy had the word of God, but Lord, you had to show them that they could not handle it. It was, and you showed them by knocking their God, bringing them down the first time, then the second, they put them back up, and then the next night, his arm broken and everything else, Lord, other parts just broken, showing God that you were in control. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that you're Lord. Every false religion is going to come to understand that you are Lord. And Father, we just we thank you that we know that you're on our side, and that we serve you as our King and as our Savior, our Master. And God, help us to have lives that we present to you that's holy and acceptable. It's our reasonable service that we can present to you. So God, we just pray that that Lord, you just help us just to hold to this truth that's been given back to us. And this day it's been restored, just as it's a parallel as to what was going on nowadays in ministries. There's more concern about money than there is about souls. So many offerings that have to be held in churches. People being held hostage over an offering. God, we see these same patterns repeating from the scripture, even in our day. But Father, we pray that you just help us just to maintain our focus on what your word says and how it's been brought to us through a prophet. Thank you, and we bless you that you've given us eyes to see and ears to hear. In Jesus' name, we pray.